Hey, gamers, trainers, Pokemon, you are listening to a very special episode of Pokemon's Health. Pokemon meets Pokebuds. Pokemon meets men's mental Pokebuds. Some shit like that. Some shit like that. I'm here with a very special guest. He needs no introduction. It's Tommy motherfucking Tuesdays. Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you for having me on. Honored to be asked to be a part of this. And thank you and your community. Everyone who listens to this, everyone who engages with this, like, let's have some fun.
I'm excited for this. Hell yeah. Thank you so much. And guys, it was, I don't know what came to mind, but, you know, we talk about mental health here. I'm a firm believer that cannabis can do so much for one's mental health if used responsibly. It's done so much for me. And I just think about guys connecting and how much happens when you connect over a joint or a bowl or a bong, just the shit that gets shared. And I'm just like, bro, I know the Pokemon community. I know they love to smoke up. They would love to hear some VGC players, just members of the community, whatever you do in the community, just chatting about life while enjoying some of the plants. So I tweeted it out. I was like, hey, is there anything like this? And who might be interested in it? And the community pointed. He pointed to the man. That's the man on Tuesday nights, Tommy motherfucking Tuesday. He said he was the only man for the job. And Tommy, dude, I was so grateful that you have decided to spend some time with me tonight, man.
No, for real, dude. I love this community so far. I feel like I fell ass backwards into it. And it's just been such a wild ride since I started playing Pokemon and met a lot of the VGC community. I've been blessed to meet a lot of people via Twitter, via Discord, via regionals, via draft leagues, via all these different sources of Pokemon. And it's been really cool to see how many different niche communities there are in this bigger community that we have.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, how many little, like, different, like, fan bases, how many different little tours, how many different little Discord groups, how many different little everything there is. Mm-hmm. And it's a really diverse, cool group. There's, we've had some crazy interactions too recently, actually, more than, you know, most. I guess the bigger you grow, you get that too. But totally. It's been overwhelmingly positive. And that's why, like, mental health this week, especially, I was like, this is important, man. Because we had someone go crazy on some Judge of the Mind too. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, man, we're playing Pokemon. Why are you threatening people?
Totally.
You know, it's just like, it's really cool to see that you're taking the mental health aspect of Pokemon playing. Because there's a lot of people who play this game, you know, could use someone to talk to or listen to.
Totally.
And this is probably a great outlet for that. And that's why when you asked me to come on, I was like, this is awesome. This is something I align with too, like mental health and like awareness of that. Safe use of cannabis too. Yeah. That's something I've really aligned myself with too, more than anything. So I'm honored to be here, man. I can't say that enough. I really can't say that enough.
Appreciate that, dude. And we're going to have a great time, talk about some great stuff. I love the idea, like, there are so many in our community that struggle with you know, whatever they're struggling with. And hell yeah, they need somebody to talk to. And a lot of me feels like there's something about that. I mean, I've looked at other gaming communities, not a ton, but there's just something that feels very healthy about the folks in the gaming community, in the Pokemon community specifically. I mean, so many of the people that I've talked to have already started their journey with therapy, you know, already, you know, figured out they had some sort of issue they needed to work on, got medicated, whatever it is, and like really turned their lives around, you know. And I look into the general population and that still seems to be a really hard thing for people to do. But I've seen it so, like, distinctly in the Pokemon community so far. That's been a really cool surprise for me. So I'm really glad to hear that it aligns with you. I'm glad to see such a focus on one's mental health in our community so far. And just honored to get the opportunity to contribute a little bit.
And I think we should normalize therapy and BetterHelp and all these sites that, like, what's it called? I went to therapy when I was younger, too. It's just not in the books right now. If I could afford it, make the time for it, I would go still. You know, it's just one of those things I had to cut out of the budget, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's worth it if you could afford it, if you have the time and you think you need it. It's very much worth it. And, like, I think that's something we should normalize in this community 100%.
Oh, yes. Well, sir, before we continue, the ceremonial toke to get things going, we light up.
I kind of spoiled it with your intro.
No, no, we're smoking all night long whenever. But
this is my co-host too. This is Bongi Hayden.
Bongi
is turning 10 years old this
Holy
year.
Holy hell. Happy birthday, Bongster.
Yeah.
That's what's
my cousins. So in 2014, my cousins moved into an apartment together. And I lived in California at the time. I had just moved to California.
Yeah.
So they bought the bong and named it after me. My name's Tommy Hayden. They named it Bongi Hayden. And then I moved into the apartment when I moved out of back from California in 2018. I think it was 2019 I moved into the apartment. And I lived in the apartment until 2020 when, like, around COVID time happened. And then I moved back into my mom's house. And I was just like, wait, I don't know the next tenant's coming in. I can't leave the house bong in the house.
No.
I guess he's mine.
Hell yeah.
So I got him for free, too. And he's been with me since.
That's beautiful. And,
yeah, I love Bongi. And Bongi's with me on every stream I do, too.
Yeah. You have the sidekick, bro.
Yeah, so I wanted to introduce Bongi. Yeah.
10 years and you're taking care of that thing. That's a sacred.
Well, I got to clean it again. I got the bong cleaner, so I got to get this little crust off.
Yeah.
I try to keep the downstem very clear. I try to keep the bowl piece clear. I clean them out with a toothpick. I clean them out with, a paper clip sometimes works really well if you unfold it.
Yeah.
And the 420 cleaner.
Beautiful.
And I'm a pothead, man.
Well, we're going to talk more. Let's get the ceremonial toke. I have so many things to tell you. Right. Yeah. Let's get it. And. Woo! That the space is open. Man.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. You said you're a pothead, bro. I am a baby pothead. I'm 34 years old. I did not smoke for the first time until I was 28. And so, and even then, after that, I didn't really get into it as a habit until maybe a year after. It was in the pandemic, 2020. One of my coworkers gave me a couple edibles before we started to go back to work. We had to come and do a training, and she had a couple edibles. She gave them to me, and I was like, how much should I take? She's like, you take one.
I have all my edibles in here.
Oh, fuck yeah. You take one if you are a beginner. You take one and a half if you're intermediate, and you take both if you don't give a fuck. And I was like, don't give a fuck. I mean, I don't give a fuck, I guess. I want to have a good time, but oh man, you got some good shit in there. It shattered me. Like I went insane. Like it was like fun at first, and then I was like super anxious, and then I woke up high the next morning, and I felt like good, like what it was supposed to be if I took a decent amount. And I was like, I love this. This is fucking awesome. Like past like in the anxiety, right? So I take enough, like take a know what I need to take. It feels really fun. My body feels nice. Like food tastes better. The air, like on my skin, felt amazing. Like walking down the street, and I'm just like, I think I'm gonna do this as a thing. I'm just gonna keep going. And over the last 6 years, bro, like weed's done so much for me. Like really, like it has made me creative. It has made me reflective.
You were already creative and reflective. It enhances. Yeah. It makes you more of what you are, in my opinion. Dude. And there's certain strains that do different effects. So right now I'm the manager of a cannabis dispensary waiting to open, and safe use and using cannabis in the right ways is something that's really, really cool to me. And like the way it helped you do those things, there's certain strains that'll help you do that more than others. Yeah. There's certain strains that'll just have those effects where it's like, wait, this style, like this seed or this family of flower is going to take that creative juices and really make them flow. Wow. It's going to do something to the brain that just like really enhances it. And learning what the best for you is really a cool thing to find. And like when you're smoking different strains, you get that slightly different feeling sometimes, where sometimes you melt into the couch or sometimes, you know, the indicas, the sativas, the this, the that, you know, but the different families of where these plants came from. And I found out recently that every single flower comes from chem dog. Which is a really cool fun fact too.
Really?
So chem dog is one of the, they don't know where it comes from. And it's one of those OG strains.
That's insane.
Every flower has a little bit of chem dog in it. It's one of the, like the universal parents. And it's just like finding out which one of these strains is the ones that really connects with your brain and helps you do what you want to do the best.
Yeah.
Is really cool, man. And like what you're talking about is so cool to hear.
Man, it's been amazing.
Yeah, it's helped you.
It helped me do Pokemon's health. It helped me say, like, I'm going to, like, do this, like, kind of entrepreneurial, like, make my own way, create something. I don't know what the hell it's going to be, but create something. You know, I know I want to help men, you know, and I know I would love to play more Pokemon. And it's just like, one day I was high in the shower and it's like, Pokemon's health. Like, I could, that could be cool. Like, would that be something the community is interested in? And it's crazy because you guys have seemed to be like really interested in it. And able to like see a way to make something a love, not just from my childhood, but since my childhood, like, and be able to bring it into my life in a way that feels like, I don't know, like more functional, more meaningful than it would have been before has been really cool. And
what's your Pokemon background too, by the way? Let me interrupt you there.
Yeah, well, we're gonna get into yours in a second. So I'll tell you mine after you tell me yours. Let's give let the audience hear a little bit more about you here. Starting with just let us know how old you are, where you're from, and what do you do for a living? You mentioned it a little bit, but yeah, you can give me some more there.
I just turned 30 this week. I turned 30 on the 27th of February.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm born on Pokemon Day, which is really cool. That's why we just, we recently did those tournaments. I got a bunch of friends together and we did Pokemon Day week, where there were 18 total tournaments, and the top 8 of each 18 got invited to an invitational where there was $600 in prizing, and I just paid out 7 out of the top 8. The 8th person, PayPal, needed more information. So I sent him that and was like, yo, I don't know how to pay you. You know, like, I can't send it, but I sent. And then it's funny. Marco Fierro just answered me before. He's like, got it. Thank you. And he's so polite, but he wins a lot of the money tours I do. So I was like, is it the same PayPal as last time? He's like, I believe so. And he sent me it again.
That's crazy.
But it's just like really cool to see this community like come together the way it has and whatnot. And so that I guess I just got into a little tangent, but I'm 30 years old. I've been. Yeah. What was the other two questions? So I work at a cannabis dispensary. Yeah.
And where are you from?
Oh, I'm from New York. I'm a Long Island guy, but I was born in Queens. I lived there until I was 5 and then moved to Long Island when I was 5. And I love it over here. I love Long Island. And I lived in California for 4 years too. 2014 to 18, I lived in Venice Beach, Santa Monica.
Woo!
And that's where I got back into Pokemon, actually.
Yeah.
I was working at a movie theater. I was going to school, finishing my associate's degree. And I was a night manager of a salad shop. And I like to stay busy. Like, I like to do a lot of things. Like, that's what I think you could tell in the Pokemon world, too. I'm always doing something. Oh, what's it called? So I was just staying busy. I was just working a lot. And I moved out of my auntie's house into a coworker's apartment because they had the brother moved out. They needed someone else to move in, pay rent. And I was like, yeah, I can move in. You guys live really close to the school I'm at. I'm always hanging out here anyway. So I might as well move in, pay rent, you know, have some fun. And, next thing you know, it was just a fucking blast, but they was from China. They were from Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And when Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire came out, I guess it was 2016, they were like, you got to play. And I was like, I haven't played since Ruby Sapphire. They're like, so it's a remake. You know, like, you're going to know everything about Ruby Sapphire. I said, oh, you know what? All right, let me try it out. So they let me borrow their DS. I got the game and I played it on their DS until I bought my own. And that's how I got into Pokemon, man. Like that California little vacation, because I played Red Blue with my mom and my sister. We went to the local diner and we played. And we played Gold there too. We played beach club I went to, and then we played Ruby Sapphire Emerald. And I stopped after Ruby Sapphire Emerald. I was like in middle school, and I was Tommy Too Cool for Pokemon. And I was just like, oh, this is a kid's game, and I like didn't play Diamond Pearl. I didn't play Heart Gold, Soul Silver. Black White 2, played X and Y and after, because I had the 3DS, so I could play X and Y at the same time I was playing Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. So I played it after the fact. And I didn't really like that game as much as Ruby Sapphire. I spent all my time in Ruby Sapphire.
I
would just try to play, I would just play my friend. I wouldn't play on the online ladder because it was a double restricted format and I didn't want to use restricted mods. Yeah. And like him trying to explain that I had to use restricted mods if I wanted to do well, I was like, no, I want to use a Pokemon I want to use. Like, you're teaching me how I want to use Blaziken, Mamoswine, and Dragonite. I'm fucking blast. And he's like, they're not good, though. It was like, no, I'm using these guys. And I would play against him, and we would battle and have blast. And and then I just didn't play for a while after, what's it called? I didn't play. I played Sun and Moon, put it down, never played. Played Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, played Story, never played online, put it down, never played. Switch, played Let's Go. Was like, all right, Pokemon's not for me anymore. This shit sucks. Oh, it's the worst.
Let's go.
Like,
what's happening with that?
I was like, if this is the future of Pokemon, this ain't for me.
Yes.
So when Sword and Shield came out, I didn't even get it. I didn't even get Sword and Shield because I was just like, fuck, I don't care. And then COVID happened, and that's when I ended up getting it, man.
Oh.
I guess this is where I'll tell you how I got into competitive. Let me just go on a little tangent and tell you about
Pokemon. Go for it, bro. That was the next question anyway. You're already in it.
Yeah.
Let's keep going.
So, yeah, let's just keep going with it. But so I think it was Series 4 of Sword and Shield. I was started playing. I just got the game. I got to Master Ball. And, like, I literally was just, like, I just started playing. I played Cybertron. And he put our battle on Road to Ranked. And it's, if you type in Road to Ranked 095, there's a Butterfree. And that's my Butterfree. And that's me. And it's a Mamoswine team with a Butterfree.
Fuck
and,
yeah.
G-Max Butterfree. And I had so much fun. I almost beat him. I got some lucky sleep turns. I just didn't play optimally. I was like,
yeah.
Looking back, I made so many mistakes. But I was so new at the time, too.
Totally.
And, he, like, I tweeted him, like, thank you so much. He liked it. And then some random dude liked the tweet, too. It's like, who's this guy? Because I had, like, 200 Twitter followers, and I think all of them were Knicks fans. You know? So they were like, what's, you know?
Yeah.
I went viral on Knicks Twitter.
Got
it. So I went from, like, having 15 to 200 followers and all of them being Knicks fans, which is really funny.
So cool.
And, yeah, I could show you that video after, too.
Hell yeah.
But it was really funny. I was at a Knicks game just going crazy in the Hawks Knicks games, games 2 of that playoff series. I was in section one, row 10, and section one, row 7 for game 5. Mm. And it was awesome. But after playing Cybertron and the random guy liked my tweet, I was like, all right, who the fuck is this guy? And his last tweet was, I need more Pokemon friends. And I'm like, all right, I like that tweet. I slide into his DMs. I go, let's fucking battle. And he's like, all right. And we do a best of 3. And at this point, I don't know anyone in the Pokemon community. I'm just like a random person that got to Master Ball and played Cybertron and like watched his videos. And that's why I was like, wait, that's me. Like, that's me. Like, holy shit. And I beat him with the Colossal team. And he was in a draft league.
Mm.
And he goes, when the draft league's doing the next season, I'll let you know. But if you want to help me prep, let me know. And I was like, yeah. So he would like pitch ideas at me. He would send me the opponent's team and be like, what would you do? I'd be like, oh, I think I would do this. I think I would do this. You should try doing this. And just like draft strategy with him. And that was a lot of fun. So then when the draft league came around, I joined and I went 6-4. And I made the playoffs and I lost in the first round to my friend Alpaca. And I'm still friends with the guy I found on Twitter. His name's United Away, Noah. I've been in an Airbnb with him multiple regionals last year.
Hell yeah.
I'm still friends with Alpaca Airbnb last year. I'm still friends with the guy who runs the CPDL. I drafted him in the NPA B League. I'm still friends with all these people I met in that first draft league. Kay DeMarney. I introduced Carney Asada to that league. I'll get into that in a second, too.
Yeah.
But it was just like really cool to see how I met like core group of friends that I still talk to this day, all from that first community I was so lucky to find.
Yeah.
You know, all from a Twitter interaction, you know?
That's so cool.
And it's so fucking cool. And so I think I'm hot shit at this point because I went 6-4 in the playoffs and I'm so new.
Let's go.
So I joined this $100 draft league and it was called the High Roller Draft League. And it's a money league. And I thought of it like fantasy football. And dude, I got my ass kicked. I went 1-7 and my only win was versus Pengy, who is still a friend today.
Yeah.
And that's where I met Pengy. And I beat him with, again, Butterfree and Blastoise. Butterfree with my mod.
That's dope as hell.
Yeah.
I didn't know Butterfree had it like that.
Yo, it didn't.
You had it like that with Butterfree, though. That's what's up.
It was awesome. I was using a Choice Scarf sleep powder set against Pengy. And
tell me real quick, just the brief version of it. What did Butterfree do in those days? So what was
it? It had a D-Max move that would put people to sleep. Poison or paralysis. It's like Dire Claw, but it was a Dynamax move.
Got it.
And what's it called? Rage Powder. I think I had Tailwind on it. Sleep Powder. And I forget. Bug Buzz, I think, was a move. Yeah. Or no, I had to have Airstream because Airstream was integral to it too. So I had to have a bug move, a flying move. I had to have sleep powder. And then that fourth move was whatever I wanted it to be. Like it had Quiver Dance if I wanted setup. It had Tailwind. It had, I don't know if it had Rage Powder. I think it did have Rage Powder.
Yeah.
So Butterfree was awesome.
That's what's up.
And I had so much fun with it. And I joined the draft league again the next season saying, I'm not going to do as poorly. Like, I'm going to do better this next season. And I went 1-7 again. And I was like, I'm so happy I at least got one win, but I was getting better.
Yeah.
And I brought every game to a game 3. And I was so encouraged by that at least. And I met guys like Battle Room and Cortex and Joe UX9. And like, I made all these friends with these kick-ass players that when the regional circuit started, like Pengy won the first regional back. Or no, the second regional back, Indianapolis. And Pengy was my draft league rival. And I was like, wait, I'm hanging with the big cats?
That's
like,
this super is encouraging.
Yeah. I went 5-4. I started 3-1. I lost my third game to a full para. And then I lost my fourth game to, I just got outplayed, I think. I just got really outplayed. I forget exactly what it was. But the guy I lost my third game to, Jerry Woods the third, he was a 2-time regional winner. He won Athens 2013, Athens 2015, and he's a good friend today, too.
Yeah.
And, like, I love Jerry. And I can't say enough good things about him, too.
Nah.
And it's just so cool to see, like, how I've met so many people along my Pokemon journey and, like, so many people have become friends that I met so early on, too.
Yeah.
And I've just been so blessed to keep meeting like kick-ass people and players, and like the local scene now is awesome around me. Like I get to play guys like Shilling Tang, Chuppa, Paul Chua, James Evans. Like these guys going to the locals consistently is really cool.
To live in that area.
So I guess there's a lot of like
gyms? That, like attracts like Pokemon players to that area that I'm so many good ones are there. Yeah.
So New York, New Jersey, I think is just like something in the water.
Yeah. All right. That's dope.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just a lot. I think so. They tell me what used to happen was that since there were so many good players at locals, it would rise. Everyone would get better consistently playing each other's winners.
Absolutely.
And so that's how all the old cats used to get better. So like James Beck, Sohabe, Judy are all from Staten Island.
Mm.
And like, they were all playing in the locals around the same time as each other, like going to locals, like, and then you got to think Chuppa was in that group too. Mike D'Angelo is a New York cat too. I'm not sure if he was going to the locals like that. I would assume he was. So there was just like a very high level of competition at Paul Chua in the New Jersey area. Like they were all raising each other's level of play throughout the years, playing each other consistently so that when they went to regionals, it was like easier than the locals. You know, like, yeah. And so as a newer player, just lucky to be in the area, it's just like, I think helped me get better quicker too, being able to play these guys consistently, you know, at that level.
That's what's up. How did this lead to Tommy Tuesdays?
So, okay. After Indianapolis 22, where Pengy won, and I was like, yo, let me see how I do at a regional. Like, and it was pretty encouraging. I went to Secaucus. I went 4-4. I went to NAIC. I started 1-2. And then I think I started 2-3. And I clawed my way back to 5-4. And I was so happy to end above 500. And I just got let go from my job. And I just got a lump sum of money from a family member passing away. And I had all this money in my pocket and all this time. And Worlds in 22, London was coming up. That's where I got the hat.
Beautiful.
And my friend Sohabe goes, yeah, you can take my spectator pass. And my friend Beanie goes, dude, stay with me at the hotel. Like, we have room in the hotel. And I found a flight for like $500. I was like, that's affordable. And
Did you been before?
No, I never left the country.
That was the first one? First time?
Yeah, first time leaving the country. It was London 22. And I made sure to go and did solo traveling before I met up with everyone from Worlds. So I did like a tour of Stonehenge and Bath and Buckingham Palace and Windsor Castle. And I did a walking food tour of East London. And I did I did just all this shit I could do and packed in a full trip for the World Championship. And since I wasn't playing, I was just spectating. It was like very stress-free environment.
Yeah.
In the London Open, I ended up going 4-5. Started 3-1, and I really choked that one out.
Hey.
And I was using Colossal and Yveltal. in Kyogre. It was really cool. It was a really weird team. You know, start 3-1, I was impressed with myself.
Yeah.
And but that's when they announced Worlds in Japan, and I was like, yo, I think I'm gonna do everything in my power to get there. And when Scarlet Violet came out, I was playing a lot. I was doing a bunch of group chats and everything. And Carnie Estada, my good friend, Timos, my good friend, Beanie, my good friend, they were like, you fucking assholes, stop adding us to group chats with whoever we're playing with. Just make a fucking server. Like, stop being a piece of shit. We have too many Discord group chats, like with the same 15 or so people, because you can't add more than 10 to a group chat. And I was like, all right, guys, all right, fine. And I made the Amoongus bus. And that was like last Thanksgiving, not the most recent one, the one before.
Yeah.
And my friend Karan, who I was prepping with for San Diego, he goes, dude, you have like 70 people in this Discord server. You could get like 5 to 10 for a tournament. So I probably could, you know, like let's do Tuesday. My grandma used to call it Tommy Tuesdays whenever she would come over and babysit me. She would come over on Tuesdays and babysit. And that's where the name came from. And so I said, yeah, let's just host the tournament on Tuesday. I get home early Tuesday night anyway. I was working at Jersey Mike's at the time. And yeah, so I was like, this works out perfect. And the first one had 37 people joined.
Wow.
And I got retweeted by VGC Tour and a bunch of people on Twitter. Like, and then I was like, let's just see. I could do it every Tuesday. And I was very consistent with it. And that's one thing that I've been pretty good at with those tournaments. Like, I was very, very consistent early on. Mm-hmm. And we consistently got 30-ish to 50-ish to 80-ish to 100-ish to 120-ish now to 130-ish now, you know? And it's really crazy to see the growth. But I've been doing it for over a year now. We started in December. In November, right after... When was the Christmas tour was my 1 year anniversary tour. So December 27th was my first tournament. December 27th.
And guys, we took a little break here because this is where Tom was beginning to feel ill and he needed to call the rest of the night off. So we talked a bit about the usual starting topics of the podcast, how we got going into tournaments. We were shouting out some friends and we pretty much pick up the conversation from there. Man, we are back at it here. It is myself, Roy Flash Gordon, and Tom Hayden. If I did my due diligence, I put a little thing before this to say we had to take a break. And after like a month or something, we are back at it for the second half. And I'm pumped to be with you, Tommy. How you doing, man?
Hand up. Last time I was not feeling too well. I had ate some Chipotle leftovers that did not sit well in my stomach. And I was just like, yo, I'm not feeling too hot. I got to run to the bathroom. You know what? Let's just put a pause on this. I'll be back another time.
Yeah.
And I'm glad we were able to schedule this because I was like, oh, man, it's been a while, but I'm very happy to be back here recording with you. I'm glad I got a haircut yesterday, too.
Hey, but, man, you look good. You look good. You look good. Clean. Let's go.
So, yeah, no, I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be recording. And yeah, thank you for your time.
Always, always, dude. It's been it was a great conversation. I was having a blast. I was like cooked. I was so cooked. And you were like, you know, when you weren't starting to feel well, I was like, oh no, is he okay? Like, I wish I could something.
I ate some bad leftovers, man. I think so. I got the Chipotle, brought it home on the train, had it in my car, brought it, put it in the fridge. I think it was just out of the fridge too long in transit. And, you know, that's what happens when I work in Manhattan. I eat lunch, but I was like, I got some leftovers. Let me bring them home, throw them in the fridge.
Yeah, wait, later.
And no, it was not the best idea.
Feel that. Feel that. It goes there. It goes there. Well, we'll keep it rolling. Yeah. As said, we talked a little bit about how you got started in Pokemon, how you got started in the tournament thing, some good times that you had with some friends on the way there. And we're just getting ready to talk about the next big question of the podcast. And that is just around this thing called manhood. And I wanted to ask you, what does it mean for you to be a man?
I feel like that's a pretty simple question. It's just like, are you able to take care of yourself? Yes or no? Do you have childlike tendencies? Yes or no? Mm-hmm. And that's what it's about more than me. Are you like actually an adult, you know?
Yeah.
And like self-awareness is a big one for me too. I don't know. What other answers have you gotten for that question?
Oh, dude, so many, so many. And you're one of like the first few people I had a podcast drop yesterday with a guy, a local guy, and I asked him, and he said essentially the same thing. I want to first highlight what you said, and just like, I love that answer. It's like, often they will say the opposite of masculinity is femininity, and that's like not quite it. I think, you know, a fully fleshed out man, masculine man, is someone who has grown up, you know, able to take care of himself, all the things you just listed. And like, there's always this, you know, man versus woman thing. And like, that's an opposite game, and it's not really, you know, it's, that's a whole nother conversation. But you know, taking the idea of a boy being, you know, maybe the not quite version of a man, you know what I mean? Not quite fully fleshed out version of a man. But in terms of other answers that have gotten, you know, people leave protecting, you know, what is, you know, precious to them, their family, et cetera, providing, that sort of thing. Those two things are probably the top on the list of what it's meant for other people to be men and how they kind of practice their masculinity. Yeah, I'd say those are up there. What do you think about them?
I think, yeah, just being comfortable with yourself is a big part of being or being an adult, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah. Being comfortable with who you are. Mm-hmm. One thing I like to say is I'm always unapologetically me.
Yes.
If I'm in a room, I'm usually like, people know me. I have a certain energy to me. And I don't know if that's like just, I don't correlate that with being a man, but I am a man and I act that way. I don't know how I'm trying to say there, but it's just like, there's different things. That's a very layered question, I would say.
You know,
in this current world, which is weird to think too. But yeah, it's just like, can you take care of yourself?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the purpose of the podcast is really to help guys see in this world where it's confusing, right? We live in the world where the toxic masculinity is a very real thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, how do I be a guy then? You know, like, not a lot of us had great examples of, you know, this is being a guy and this is how to do it well. A lot of us have the greater example of, you know, being a man means you don't talk about your feelings, so you hold all your shit inside and then fucking explode at some point. You know what I mean?
I grew up in a single mom household with my grandpa being a huge influence on my life, too.
Yeah.
He was like the dominant male figure in my life, you know? And I learned a lot from him the old school way. He was born 1928. His 96th birthday was April 2nd, from being a fool. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And to have that role model be such an old school Italian generation.
Yeah.
Where he would be like, you're lucky you don't have a vowel at the end of your name because everyone hates Italians. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Amazing.
Because he's 100% Sicilian. And getting in that mob era where like everyone did hate Italians because of the mafia in the area he was growing up in.
Wow.
You know? So it's a really interesting dynamic to see like the different eras of man throughout generations, because there's that 1928 Depression era. Into the Vietnam era, into the World War II era. You know, it's just like, I skipped World War I, but yeah, that existed too. And it's just like the post-war eras of America, defining being a man was much different than what it is today.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that back then, you know, we as humans evolve, right? We get different ideas and see different things actually work and whatnot. And it's hard to judge them for, you know, what may not work today. You know, today we were like, no, that shit don't cut it anymore. You know what I mean?
It's different society, different morals, a different moral compass. And it's interesting to see how that changes over generations. And I love looking into history stuff, man.
Yeah.
And like, looking up, like, people were brutal back in, like, different times of history. Like, people, there was brutal things going on all around humanity.
Yeah.
And that's like, you got to think our ancestors are the one that survived the brutality.
Yeah.
That was everything going on in the past. You know, it's just like, that's who we come from. We can't forget it as we evolve, but like, it's cool to see how we've evolved into what we are as humans today, I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm rambling now. And I'm
I think, you talk about some good shit though, because it's like, from the brutality, and surviving through the brutality, have we get into an era of actually you can relax and like enjoy shit, you know? It's not just about surviving, but like
air conditioning.
Air conditioning, yeah.
How long has that been around realistically in human
history? Not that long. And like eating good food, eating some real good ass food. Like you can do that. It doesn't have to be just like whatever you hunt. Salad.
I had White Castle today.
Yeah, dude. There you go. There you go. You get those luxuries. And I think that's the beautiful thing about being a human. Like we step forward through that. And like, you know, men have been kind of brutal in the past. And I like to say, believe that we're learning a lot. And I think through like discussions like this is right. How we pass on, you know, other ways of, hey, I do it like this. You do it like that. Like, I care about you. I want to see you like thrive and win and shit. Like if I can support you in being a better man, stronger man, even better human in whatever way, like, yeah, hell yeah, I want like to do that.
Better human in every
way.
Yes. But like, we're blessed to be born in this time. Cause look at that lion picture behind you.
Yeah.
Imagine you had to fight that in the Colosseum. Like, imagine you were just unlucky enough to get picked up by the wrong group of Romans.
Yeah, and dude.
Like, oh, you're doing this now. And you're like, what?
Insane. You know, insane.
Like that happened to someone somewhere.
That totally happened sometime. To someone. Crazy, bro. Well, thinking about... So, I think I mentioned earlier, we have a bunch of examples tossed at us about, hey, you got to be a man like this. You got to be a man like that. And, you know, we see it in media or, you know, depending on however you grew up or the people grew up around or whatnot. A lot of stuff, time we're getting got that shit pushed at us, the standards pushed at us that we may not necessarily agree with. And I'm wondering, were there any times, whether by the definition you gave earlier or by, you know, societal standards and what was put on you, were there any times where you felt like you weren't living up to this idea of being a real man?
I guess I don't let outside influences affect me that much, like yeah. at all, if any. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's just come with age. I turned 30 this year.
Yeah.
Like, I try not to let anyone outside of me affect my mood. Yeah. You know, or affect the way I think about me. You know, it's just like, I'm me. I'm very comfortable with that. So I don't know.
Were you ever like that? Well, like, has it always been that way for you? Or did you have to kind of develop that, like, as you got older?
I was always mostly comfortable being me, I guess. I played football awesome. Growing up.
Yeah,
I was always a bigger guy. I could always take care of myself. I felt like if anyone pressed me or anything, and it's just like I was always very comfortable with myself, which is
that's cool huge, feeling. Man.
Yeah,
that's huge. Like being able one, because I don't know if it's the case for everyone who's big, but I do agree that being a little bit taller at least has always been something that's been like
I'm
okay,
like 6'2", but I always say I'm 6' to fuck with people who are 5'11". Because then, like, if that dude's 6', how are you 6'? Yeah. And I always, like,
it's crazy.
I'm just a bully.
Yeah, it's so funny. But you know, being able to take care of yourself, like, how lucky for us to be like on the taller side. Like, smaller guys maybe not have that. Like, and maybe they're more susceptible to the self esteem stuff, and you know, having trouble, you know, feeling good about themselves. Right?
Too, you know. Yeah. I was always just very comfortable being me, which is
that's awesome.
Cool looking back at me, you know, in pictures and videos from childhood and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, that's cool. Like, I had a lot of fun doing different aspects. Like, I played every sport growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played every sport. And I was
that's really another confidence builder, man.
I felt like I was good at football.
Yeah.
Because I played at St. Anthony's High School, which was the, we won the state championship 14 years in a row.
Holy hell.
Three of them. Yeah.
You were there for three of them?
Yeah, I was varsity for one of them.
Awesome.
And my senior year, I hurt my shoulders, and I was just not into it.
Yeah.
I started smoking pot a little bit, and I was just like, you know what? I'm not feeling it anymore.
Yeah.
Am I really going to stop playing football? Like, you know what? I think I am.
Mm.
And a personal story, too. My mom beat stage 4 breast cancer, and my sister had a tumor the year after. And that was going on my senior year of high school. So I was just like, I'd rather just take the time to like hang out with my friends, smoke some pot, be around for family, and just like I'm going to community college next year anyway. Let me just like hang out and have fun, you know? Let me just like take the year. And I had a bunch of free periods in high school. I had my friend, so if I had 3 free periods at the end of the day, they wouldn't let me leave until the second one unless I got permission from a parent. So there was like 2 days on the schedule where I had 3 free periods, and one of my friends would always call, pretend to be my mom.
Oh my god, that's awesome!
Because she was in college already too. Because again, being a bigger dude, I grew up at a country club too. I was blessed, like my grandparents were members of a country club and Sun and Surf Beach Club. It changed my life. But that community, my mom grew up with those, all my friends' parents. My friends, like, I know all their grandparents and parents if I know them from the beach club. And it's like a really cool. big community. And it's beautiful. And I was just a groomsman at one of their weddings. One of them just had their second kid. And like, it's really cool to see us all stay in touch. And like, I'm blessed to have that structure in my life. And just most of them are older than me because, again, I was just bigger growing up. So it's just like, oh, let me play sports with the guys that are like more closer to my size too. So like, they're all 33. I'm 30, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm 34. You know, it's just like, but it's just really cool to see. I've always had like good influences in my life too. Cause again, they were people I looked up to, even though they were my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at them like mentors almost, even though I was like, I can learn a lot from these people. And I'm blessed to have the community aspect that I've had to make me as comfortable with who I am. And like, I guess the sports I played with them, like they always were gassing me up. They're like, yeah, fuck yeah. Like laughing at my jokes and whatnot, being like, no, like telling me when I'm good at stuff, clowning on me when I'm not. And I would do the same for them.
Yeah.
And I try to do the same for my friends. Like today I was in a Pokemon fantasy draft and someone drafted Fantasy third. And I said, Jam, that's a horrible pick. And then he drafted another mon that I loved. And I was like, Jam, I love that pick. But it's like, being honest with your friends and like is something I'm very comfortable with. Like if I wasn't comfortable with Jam, I wouldn't be as comfortable to say that's a horrible pick. What are you doing, bro? You know,
totally.
Just like getting that like community aspect and being comfortable with yourself allows you to make those jokes and whatnot.
Big time.
And, and being comfortable with people, like it's something important to me too. But like, I guess, I don't know where it came from. I guess it's just my life growing up. I was also pretty good at tennis, which was cool as like a bigger guy. Like no,
that's dope.
270-pound tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
Long arms and whatnot. I gotta get back on the court. I played in college too.
You killing it, man. Yeah, that's super cool.
In college, I took a tennis course, and I played a bit there, and it was just like really cool to see. They didn't have a team. I just played on the rec thing, and it was just like so cool at Santa Monica College while I was living in California. The outdoor courts, man. But I'm blessed to like live the life I've lived, I guess. And I guess that's part of the reason why I'm so comfortable being me too, because it's like I know how lucky I am to be here, be who I am, and
it's awesome, man. It sounds like you know had a pretty encouraging kind of environment with community. The people who are around you. And it sounded like I was going to ask if it was all encouragement or if there was ever like the, I know we got as guys, especially in team sports, we'd like to fuck with each other, like a good deal. Like, is that like that existed, but also in a good environment of like love, support and all that.
And if I don't mess with someone, if I don't like them, like,
I say that all the time.
Like I've been clowning on my friend Kevin for running Ting Lu Dozo, and it's just like, you know, it's just like you could clown on your friends if they're actually your friends, and you know, you know, it's like they know it's out of love. But if I'm scared to clown with someone, it's like, oh God, I gotta watch what I say. That's how I know I'm not that close with someone. You know?
Yeah,
and that's how like, it's a level of friendship. You know, you gotta get to, or like a level of comfortability you gotta get to before you could actually fuck with someone and have some fun.
Absolutely. I love that, man. I love that. And another thing you said was you need to like have friends around you that are willing to be honest with you about like about what's up. But like, honestly, if you are not, that's a person I can't fuck with.
And that's something that I'm running into because I'm asking people for advice on like the tours I'm doing and the projects I'm hosting. And I'm like, is this a good idea? And I don't want yes men around. I want people to tell me, no, that's shit. Like, if I send you a pitch deck that looks like shit, and I know it looks like shit, but it has the information I need, tell me about the information. Tell me what I could do to make it better.
Yes.
And, like, I need people that are honest with me. Like, if I send – and the same with teams. Like, someone – if you get mad at someone critiquing your team, then, like, stop being a pussy, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I should probably phrase that better, but it's just like, come on.
Get
like,
you.
You know, like
– yeah.
That's like you being insecure if someone's roasting your team and you can't see why, or maybe they are wrong, maybe they are, you know. And it's just like, but
you gotta be open to feedback.
Exactly. And like there's ways there's the right ways to do feedback and the wrong ways to do feedback. And I've done the wrong ways before on Twitter publicly. Like when I quote tweeted that Canadian dude and told people not to get coaching from him, stand by the sentiment, but it was a mean thing I did. It was a bully. Like I looked like a big bully and I was like, yeah, I was. But you know what? Like, don't get coaching from new players. I stand by that statement. And it's just like, there's nice ways to go about sending the messages you want. You just got to find them if you want to send the message, you know?
Yeah, totally. And, respectful ways to give feedback. But I think as humans, if we want to be, I mean, let's be real, as competitors in anything you're competing in, but if you want to be the top, you know, get to the top as a competitor, you're going to have to get feedback from people who are better than you. Even people like at your same level, sometimes people who aren't as good as you, but might be better than you in an aspect. If you're open to that, that's how all the greats in anything have gotten to where they gotten. Through feedback.
But every time I fucked up, I've had friends telling me, hey, you fucked up.
Yeah, there you go.
I appreciate that energy of saying, hey, Tom, no, like this, I, even if I agree what you said it the wrong way. Hey, you know you fucked up. What can we, like, what's up, man? What happened there? And it's just like having those friends that aren't yes men, that are there to tell you real shit. It's just like so valuable to everyone in this world.
Yeah.
And if you surround your people, if you don't like someone's energy, but they're in like the circle you're hanging out with, like be honest with yourself. Be like, do you want to spend a lot of your energy and your time? Like you need to make sure you're using your energy and your capacity or your time towards things you want to do and towards things that make you better.
Yeah. And
I don't have a lot of time anymore. Like you scheduling this, you realize that.
Yeah.
And that's why having those friends I talk to, like, I don't have a lot of time to talk to friends. So I meet, when I make time to talk to a friend, it's like very valuable to me. And I need to get that right feedback. I need to have that right energy or like that, you know?
Yeah.
The vibes and whatnot. And like, it's really valuable to growing as a person, in my opinion, too. And growing as a man, a human, all of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Building that community is something that's really hard to do. But if you find the right people, like, it's really, you're blessed to have them in your life.
Yeah. That's fantastic, man. Talking about support here from friends and whatnot is a good segue into the last topic of the day. And that's just about mental health, emotional health. And I was wondering if you had ever had any struggles with mental and emotional health that you've had to overcome or any that you might go through and how you manage them.
Well, when I was younger, my parents went through a divorce, so I went to therapy and I thought it really helped. And I joked about one of my, I told my friend, I didn't mind therapy. I just played strategic with the guy. I always won. I was really good at the game. He's like, you think the guy let you win, you dumbass? I was like, oh, yeah, he definitely let me win. But like, you know, it's just like, it's just like, it helps everyone. And I see BetterHelp commercials on podcasts all the time. If like you're on the fence about it, I recommend going and doing it.
Yeah.
Like I was lost at a point in my life too. I graduated summa cum laude and I couldn't find a job. I didn't get into law school. I had all this money saved up for tuition. I was just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, what direction do I go in? I saw a therapist just like help me deal with everything that was going on. I was like, I really don't know. I need to organize my thoughts. I don't want to talk to a friend about this. I don't want to talk to a family member. I want to talk to a third party outside and just like get a, you know, like let me just vent a little bit. Let me just go and get everything out and just, you know, like I'm fucking pissed about this. I'm like crushing this. I'm like doing well with this. I'm doing horrible with this. Like, I don't know where I'm at. Like, and it was just very helpful for me. I did like two sessions and then called it quits because it was expensive. And I was like, all right, I'm done. It was worth it for the, just let me vent. Let me organize myself a little bit without like going to a friend for that, without going to a family member for that. And like, it was recommended from a family. I was like, hey, if you like, I know you see a therapist, do you have one? And like, I went to the same one. So it was just like, you know, I was like, really, it helped me definitely. But I like mental health is huge, man. And I'm a huge proponent of taking care of your mentals, take care of your chickens, as Marshawn Lynch said.
Hey.
It's just like, yo, it's important. And again, self-awareness, recognizing when you are and aren't doing well is important. And I have friends that fly off the handle emotionally. The sky is falling one day, everything's sunshine and rainbows the next day. And it's just like, you got to be aware, you can't, that's not a healthy way to live. Like, you got to find a balance. Or if you do that, you're going to exhaust yourself and burn out real quick.
Yeah.
And
your relationship too. You will exhaust your relationships. Like,
Everyone, you know,
friendship
you
can only go so far.
Energy, you're going to be an energy vampire to everyone in your life. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to make sure like you're taking care of yourself so people want to be in your life. So like, you know, when you meet a new friend, when you meet someone you vibe with, they want to vibe with you too. You know, it's like you got to take care of yourself to put yourself in the situations to meet those friendships and network the right way and whatnot. Like, and really get that community around you that you want to have around you.
Mm. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Can I ask? So you mentioned you just started a new plant medicine job and you were with a dispensary before. Can I ask just like how you kind of got into this work?
So let me talk about actually. So after I saw the therapist, I was between jobs. No, actually, this was before. So right when I didn't get into law school, I couldn't find a job anywhere. And I was working at my mom's law firm and I was like selling fat guy clothes at a DXL big and tall store. And I was like, so actually I got hired for that because I walked in to buy shoes and they were like in desperate needs of sales reps. And I was talking to the guy and he's like, do you want to work here? I think you'd do well. It's like, I can only work weekends, like occasionally. He's like, yeah, no, it works for me. It's like,
beautiful.
All right. Yeah. So I sold fat guy clothes occasionally on weekends. It was really fun. I was really good at it too.
Mm.
And after that, I didn't like the boss there. I got COVID and he took me off the schedule, never put me back on.
Ugh.
And I was like, dude, like what? And he's like, you didn't work here. You were only here for weekends occasionally for like 6 months. I was like, 6 months? I thought I had a steady gig. Like, come on. I did a good
That's
job.
A while. You
know? Yeah. And I was just like, it would be like 2 to 3 weekends a month for the 6 months, you know? And it was like nice, you know? It was a nice extra paycheck too. And once that ended, the other job I was working also ended the same time, unexpectedly. I was like, oh, like, I don't know where my next check's coming. And I went and found a sales job on, what's it called? I looked on ZipRecruiter, Indeed, and I had Craigslist. I called one that said cannabis industry, and it was Jolly Green Oil. And they were starting a sales team to get into the Delta 8. And they were like, you could either work for a low base pay, high commission, high base pay, low commission. I said, you know, give me the high commission one. Let me see how I do.
Yeah.
And I did well. The 3 months I was there, I sold $70,000 worth of product. And it was really cool. It was a cool, I learned a lot of sales techniques there.
Yeah.
And the sales manager gave me a lot of bonuses, but he was also kind of like a dickhead. So I was like, I wasn't enthused about working there either.
Got it.
And Delta 8 got outlawed in Nassau and Suffolk. One of my clients got raided. And it was like, I was on camera dropping shit off the day before. Like, I was so nervous. Like, he put me in touch with his lawyer. My mom's a lawyer. I was talking to her. I was like, am I fucked? Like, what's going to happen?
Oh, my God.
And I was so nervous. And I got into a fight with the manager about a bonus I thought I should get, but he didn't give me.
Mm.
And I thought he let me go. And this was actually the same weekend I was going to Indy 22. So I texted all my clients saying, I don't work at ILW anymore. I don't think they're doing isomer production because it's outlawed in our like county. Sorry about this. And I severed the relationship with all my clients. Mm. I told them not to contact me for any Delta 8 sales. I was like, I was scared. I was talking to lawyers. I was like, I don't want anything to do with this. I want to take my name out of it. Yeah. Then I ended up having a check at the place. So I went to go pick it up. The owners, Chris and the other guy, Isaiah, they're really kind to me the whole time I worked there. They offered me double the money to come back, higher percent commission. And I said, yes, I shook their hands, but I said, I need to talk to the lawyer still. Like, I'm still nervous about this industry in general. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everything I was selling was Delta 8, and Delta 8's now not allowed to be sold in New York. We're in New York. This is scary to me. Like, I don't see how this works. And the lawyers told me to stay away. My customer's lawyer, he put me in contact with, I had a call with, and my family, who's all lawyers too, were like, I don't know, man. It just seems risky. Like, you could do something else. So I said, you know what? Like, even after the handshake agreement, I had walked away. I said, I don't think this is the right thing for me right now. And I was very nervous about the whole industry.
That's terrifying, dude. It's so terrifying. Yeah.
So I put it on my resume, though.
Yeah.
And I went back on the job search. And then this is when August Worlds was happening, 22, London. And it was like 10 days before London that I officially left the company and wasn't going back. And Beanie was like, hey, I have extra room in the hotel. And so he was like, I have the spectator pass, and I go to London and say, I think I'm going to do everything to try to get to Worlds in Japan, but I need to find a job when I get back.
Yeah.
And so I had some money saved up from, again, I didn't get into law school, so I thought I was going to law school, so I had money saved up for tuition. I didn't get in, so I was just like, And again, I was working a couple jobs selling fat guy clothes occasionally on the weekend. I was like saving up well. And yeah, I just spent like as whatever I needed to go to every regional. I was like working at Jersey Mike's to cover hourly. Like, you know, I was getting 35 hours a week.
Get him.
And first when I got back all of September, I looked for a job. And once I couldn't find a job in September, like mid-October, I went to Jersey Mike's. They started me in November. I was back at Jersey Mike's, and I stayed there for the year, really. And then after Worlds in Japan, when I got back from Worlds, I said, I don't want to be at Jersey Mike's anymore. I did this so I could be a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah,
like travel the world playing Pokemon, get weekends off, 35 hours a week, get a consistent check. And I'm blessed, again, when I thought I was going to law school, I moved back into my mom's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, no, you know, you've been going through it. Just go, like, do whatever you want. You know, like if you want to live here and play Pokemon and travel the world, like do it. That sounds crazy, but cool. And I fucking did it, you know, and it was like really cool. And I'm like so blessed I took that year to do that for me. It was just like such a cool adventure getting into this hobby and diving in with 2 feet. Like whenever I do anything, I want to dive in with 2 feet. So the cannabis, the JGO was on my resume. Jersey Mike's management was on my resume. And I put it on ZipRecruiter. And the Leafy NYC, they saw my resume, ZipRecruiter matched it. They sent that thing saying, hey, apply for this job. I applied. I get a call for the interview. I tell them about my background. I tell them I've been traveling the world for Pokemon. The guy's a nerd. He's like, you're hired.
Yes.
And then like the boss, the other, so it's a partnership, Stan and Lourdes. I got very close with them. And I'm actually going in to see them tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
And so I got involved in the cannabis industry through them. So I got hired as a bud tender, just a minimum wage bud tender for the Cannabis Growers Showcase. And on my third day, I got promoted to a management role. And on my first check, they gave me a raise. And like before my first check, they put the raise through. So like my first check was more than I was expecting.
Wow.
And they really took care of me. They gave me so many samples to try. They get like all the, I haven't bought weed in 3-4 months now because they've given me, I actually bought some yesterday. I bought some yesterday, but I went to a dispensary and bought a $29 eighth. But they've given me so much samples to try for like 4 months worth of samples. I have so many carts to try too, gummies to try. Like literally, like they've been so generous. They told me they were giving me a couple more raises. They said one when they opened and one 3 months after if they're making money.
Yeah.
And they said the payment structure I would get, like the hours I would get. And they really like promised me so much. And after December, they got delayed. They got delayed. So February, they let me go for 2 weeks and then called me back and were like, we're back. We're going to open.
Yeah.
And I go back. And it didn't get open. So they kept me on for 5 more weeks, paying me like like 30 hours a week, you know, to stay on and help them get open. And I was like so excited to be back. I'm so like, I dove in with 2 feet like I do with everything.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're delayed another like 45 days. So I'm like, I can't hold my breath. Like, I'm back at Jersey Mike's now. Let me call JGO and see what's going on. So I called Chris. I said, hey, do you have any work in the interim? Like, I don't know what you guys are up to, but I know, like, I'm looking over my resume. Like, let me see if I could walk into any doors. I was going to call the fat guy closed next. I didn't really like the guy. I did try to walk back into that door once and he said no.
Yeah.
He's like, you don't remember how you left? I was like, yeah, I left because I got mad at you for taking me off the schedule, but I did well when I was here.
Yeah.
And, so like, again, don't burn any bridges is always an advice I have too. It's like walking into old doors when I don't know where I'm going next, just to find my footing and try to find the next path. Is like Jersey Mike's has been there for me for so long now.
That's awesome.
You know, and now, so I first got the job in California at the Santa Monica location. Then it exploded while I was working there. It's crazy.
It literally exploded.
A generator in the parking garage caught fire. The entire building lost power. We had to Uber all the meats and ingredients to other stores so it wouldn't go bad. And they transferred locations to the Marina Del Rey location. So I had to take 2 buses at like 11 p.m. at night in California, Venice Beach,
Yikes.
Get back. I got into a fight with a homeless guy over a cheesesteak. I quit the next day. And then like I think I moved back to New York like a couple months after that. And then I saw a grand opening of a Jersey Mike's 30 minutes away from my house. And that's when I started picking up part-time work there while I was coaching CYO basketball. And again, so like then I put in my 2 weeks there when I went back to college to finish my bachelor's degree. And then after my bachelor's degree, I went back, you know, and it's just like keeping those doors open is really important, you know, in life, I think, like having options.
Yeah.
Like giving yourself options. So that's, again, I said, I always liked Chris and Isaiah. The last time I spoke to them, they offered me double the money to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that was the last conversation I had with them. Like they offered me double the money to come back and work with them. And I did well when I was there for the 3 months. And now the sales manager that I didn't like is gone.
Yeah.
They don't have a sales team currently is what they told me, but they had products to sell. And they call me and they're like, yeah, no, we want you back on the team. And it's really cool. I offered to work in the warehouse. They said, no, just focus on sales. We'll take care of you. Just focus on sales.
Wow.
And it's really cool. It's and my knowledge now of having the Leafy experience for the 5 months I worked at Leafy, I worked with 47 different vendors of 109 cannabis brands in New York. I'm very knowledgeable about the cannabis brands in New York.
Yeah.
So let's say Chris and Isaiah wanted to open up their own brand and start their own brand because they're working on getting a micro business license. It's just I'm a valuable asset to them now that can help them grow that side of the business because of all my knowledge of the different brands that were trying to impress me and give me samples when I was a store manager that needed to sell their stuff. Now, if I'm helping a brand grow, it would be really cool to get the perspective, you know, and I feel like I'm really valuable in this industry now.
Yeah,
which
dude.
Is really cool to see, like, my knowledge is really helping everyone. And like, so tomorrow I told him, I said, hey, I'm doing a networking event with Leafy. I told him I'd be in Thursday just to help him. Like, again, I'm not getting paid tomorrow. I'm just going in to help them because like they invited me to a networking event. First off, I'm going to get free samples there. Second off, I like these people. Like I want to do right by them. You know, it's just like, okay, let me, if I can help you guys, I don't mind helping you guys, you know, and we'll smoke, hang out, smoke a couple joints. And then go to the networking event. But I told the new bosses at the Delta 8 place, at the Jolly Green Oil place that have the gummies, the Mad Honey gummies, the Blue Lotus gummies, all this stuff.
Yeah.
You guys should go to this networking event.
That's super
and,
cool.
And they ended up getting tickets. And I heard them on the phone talking to their connect at the place because they know a connect at the place.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you hear about this event? It's a really private one. And they're like, you know, and it's just like, so now I really feel like I'm helping the new company grow into what they're trying to do and help their goals. And it's like the synergy here is really cool to see, which I didn't expect because when I left the company, I was really worried. But now that I'm back, they're at Walmart now. They're in fucking Walmart. And I said, wait, how the fuck did you guys get in Walmart? They said it wasn't easy. And
they just said it wasn't easy. I love it.
Yeah. No, but they have, they're ISO 7 certified. They're allergen certified, CGMP certified. They have a direct consumer website, which is new since when I left. They gave me a promo code, TomHayden27 on JollyGreenOil.com.
Hey.
They gave me a promo code to use. And it's just like, wait, 30% off of everything in the website's cool. You could buy Mad Honey on the website. It's federally legal honey gummies.
Wow.
And this is the banana daddy flavor. Everyone at Jersey Mike's liked it, which was really funny. Because then I immediately brought the samples I got to Jersey Mike's.
Yeah.
And gave them to the crew to try. And everyone on the crew at Jersey Mike's. And then, again, building that community. Like, I have a really cool community of supportive people at Jersey Mike's that are like, oh, Tom, how's it going with Pokemon? How's it going with it? You know, it's like, that's being comfortable with myself, being able to go into these situations and talk about Pokemon. Because I'll hear some Pokemon players be like, you talk about Pokemon to your in real life? And they're like, they keep it a big secret from all their coworkers and whatnot. No, I wear the hoodie.
Funny.
I bring my backpack everywhere. I'm proud.
You got the team on your goddamn back. The team team is behind you when you go out to battle.
Where's my backpack? Yeah, I wear this backpack every day because I'm so proud. It's a world's competitor backpack.
So dope.
Not for qualifying for worlds.
Yeah.
And I'm so proud of like earning this that I wear it every day again. You know, I bring it to work every day.
Yeah.
No matter where I'm working now. It's like, actually, Jersey Mike's, I don't bring it to. I don't want to bring it in there. But like,
and that year that you decided you're going to just travel around and be a trainer, that's the year you qualified for worlds. Is that the first time?
My first season competing. So 22, I didn't really,
that's awesome.
I didn't know anything. I didn't know shit about fuck. I just played fantasy Pokemon.
Yeah.
In fantasy draft leagues during COVID. And someone said there's an in real life event in Indy coming up. I didn't know what championship points were. I didn't know what the structure was. I just went. I started 3-1 and ended 5-4. I lost I lost my third game on a full para. I lost to Kevin Swastik. I lost to Battle Room. I beat Ryan Haig. I beat some fucking killers that day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like my round one was Gabe, that guy in a beanie, Mendoza, who's become a great friend to this day now, too. And then I went to Secaucus, and I went to NAIC, and I played in the London Open. And I said, I want to get into this. Like,
yeah,
I saw the after COVID stuff. Like, this is going to be my first real season competing. I want to go all in.
Hell yeah.
I went to 11 major events, starting in San Diego. Where was it? Knoxville, Charlotte, Orlando. I think Orlando was before those two. I didn't go to Vancouver. I didn't go to Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. I went to Puerto Rico. I went to Fresno, nice. Milwaukee, Portland, EYC, NAIC, Worlds. It was surreal. And
what
like,
a ride.
Before that, I had never traveled to more than like 6 or 7 states, really. I'd been to like New York, California, Florida, like parts of Jersey, parts of Mass, parts of Vermont, parts of Virginia, but like never really traveled too much. Like, this is my first time seeing the country, really. This is my first time seeing London in August and then April again. And now if people go to London, I give them tips like Tommy Tours in real life, like Tommy Tour Guide Tours. You know, and it's just like me, Jim Fury, and my friend Mike Moskal and Shortbread Dread. Like, we were drinking Copperberg ciders on the Uber boat. And it's just like, I navigate around London, and I know where the good fish and chips are near Big Ben. I know where, like, different, you know, stuff is, like, how to walk through St. Like, yo, you take the Uber boat from the XL, the O2, get to the fucking Westminster, I believe it is, right near the Big Ben. You walk through St. James Park to get to Buckingham Palace. And, like, I know all the food spots I like along the way. And the fact that I have that knowledge of London now, and I've been like there twice for Pokemon, is I'm blessed to say I really want to make LAIC, and if they ever bring back OCIC, I want to go to those if I ever
compete again.
I would prioritize those events and NAIC if I ever competed again, because I want to go to all the continents. I want to travel now. I like traveling more than I like playing Pokemon, I think.
Is what I realized. That's
too. It's just like
Pokemon gets you that a little spark though, at least,
and
right?
The community too. The community aspect is what I liked. Like getting friends like Karan, Darsh, Carne Asada, Koji, like all my friends that I stayed with consistently last season. It was just like really cool building my community and like seeing everyone like Jin. Like me and Jin Fury have an agreement not to stay. Like if we're ever at the same event, we're staying together because we have so much fun.
Oh yeah. I love Jim. Like, that's really funny.
Yeah, and it's just like so cool. But again, I'm taking the season off. He's pissed at me. He's like, the events aren't the same, man. Like, what's the, come on. I'm like, I got to figure out like my fucking situation first, because I want to find a steady job and I want to find my career before I start going back all in on
football. Yeah.
I want to go all in on whatever I'm doing with my career-wise. Really figure it out before I make that next step and try to compete in Pokemon again.
I thought it was really cool that – you know, that was a really cool like journey, like trying to find career and whatnot, then having that space and time to be able to live at home again, to travel around to do the mons. And then on the other side of it, like, I've done this thing, I know I want to do some more of it, but like, I also have responsibility to take care of myself, blah, blah, blah. And figuring
and
it out.
Now that I'm in an industry I'm really happy to be in, where when I first like was lost with no direction, like that was really a wild place to be. And now I feel like I have more direction. Like, I'm an asset to growing cannabis brands.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm a good salesperson, too. So, like, I could use all my knowledge of the cannabis industry right now. And, like, I think I got set up with the right people. I hope I did, you know?
Mm.
And it's really cool to see, like, I'm really happy with the future. And let's say Leafy does ever open. I need to look into the legalities of being a sales rep for a brand and a store manager for a dispensary. And like, if I could do both, and if I could do both, I think I'm going to try.
Man.
And I think I'm going to crush it. And I think I'm going to be able to work both jobs part-time very, very well, at like a very high level, which would be really cool. But I also don't want to step on any Office of Cannabis Management regulations in New York State. Mm-hmm. So that's something I need to look into as well. And it's just like, again, because I'll be on the front line selling products. I'll be biased if I'm a sales rep for one of the products.
Yeah.
And I'll be 100% biased. Like, that's probably not allowed.
Yeah.
So that's why I need to look into legalities of all that stuff too. But then I also need to recognize, like, if I have two really cool opportunities, like, I set myself up for both. Like, I really need to assess which one's worth taking.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, I hope that would be the best problem to have. If I feel like I have two really cool opportunities in front of me in the cannabis industry.
That's what's up, dude.
Yeah, it's like, I'm having fun with it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're crushing, and it's a testament to you being like a dope ass person. You got all these people, like I said, behind you. You got Jersey Mike's behind you. You got the first cannabis place behind you. You got the Delta A's place behind you, and all these places willing, ready, and willing to say, "Come on back," and like, we want you here and whatnot. That's super dope. You're a boss, bro.
In the Pokemon world, I feel the same way with USPA Team New York being like, you're on the team. Like, and I was like, hey, I understand we have like 7 regional winners and world's finalists and just crazy good players. Like, if you need to cut anyone because they made the roster shorter, like, please don't make it a hard choice. Like, I'll tap out. And he's like, you were at Worlds last year, you asshole. Like, you're good at this game. Like, I want you on the team. And, like, having that from the captain of the USPA team was really cool. And, like, beautiful. The draft community I just did tonight, the Champions Path Draft League, was the first community I ever found in Pokemon. The dude that invited me to it saw my tweet of me playing Cybertron on Road to Rank.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any Pokemon friends. I had one Pokemon friend in London, actually, who I met when I went to Worlds in August. I searched Shiny Incineroar. I searched Incineroar with Intimidate.
Yeah.
And I found a shiny hunter that was had a bunch of breed jacks. And he gave me an Incineroar, and we became friends. And he was my first ever Pokemon friends. Because I didn't know how to get Incineroar with Intimidate and Sword and Shield when I first started.
Yeah.
And so this dude saw me tweeting about playing Cybertron on Road to Rank using my Butterfree team and invited me to a draft league. And I met friends for life in that draft league. Like, I met friends that...
I'm pretty sure this is where the highness comes in. And that's part of the first part of the podcast.
But no, sure. And now I just drafted again in season 7 or 8. Or no, season 9.
That's the new part.
Season 9 of this podcast.
Tell me about season 9.
This is where I did the draft tonight. And there's guys that were in season 2 with me that were, wow. You know? And it's just like really cool. The guy that's running it he's a minor league baseball player. That played at Stanford. He's a pitcher that just went through Tommy John, and he's been recovering from his injury for a while now. And it's just like so cool to see. Like, I've been in these people's life; they've been in my life. They've become good friends over like 3 years now, and seen my journey. And actually, one of them was like, "Dude, I've been following you along this whole time. It's been so cool to see." And it's like, "Dude, I know you've seen everything. Like, wait, you were there from day one."
And wow, it's just like, dude.
Man, having that community. And now again, the Tuesday tours. And shout out Jam. I shouted him out earlier. He's been integral to helping me judge these Tuesday tours. Realistic, awesome. Professor Tiberius, Talonmaster Jay, Skeletom, Carne Asada, like my team behind me. I wouldn't be anything without them. And one thing I like to do everywhere I go is surround myself with talented people. And it's just like learn and grow with talented people. And it's just like these people have helped my community grow because I've allowed them to be like, hey, part of this community, like I need your help. Let's collaborate. Let's do this together. And like last night, again, I was just like, hey, guys, I've been working all day. I didn't drink enough water. I'm like not feeling too well. I ended up recording the Chilling Nate podcast with Tim Edwards, too, which went great. Like me and Ryan did that. That's why I wasn't streaming my Tuesday tour. And I had just so much fun recording that episode. And just like I got home a little late from work. I went to the barber. I like just took care of me a little bit more. You know,
I
showered for a little bit longer. I was just like, let me just fucking just chill out instead of going home, rushing home to stream. In the 5 hours I have free to my, like, let me take these 5 hours and use 2 of them to record a podcast and 3 of them just relax a little bit. And that's I still beautiful. Judge the, you know, through the 3 hours, but I was able to say, hey guys, can you take over a little earlier than usual? And like Jam was able to start it for me. I did the middle rounds and then the night crew took over. And the fact that we have a night crew.
That's like, crazy.
Yeah. It's like, I'm so blessed to surround myself with the people that are willing to help me and willing to see the growth. And they're like, no, it's really cool what we do here. And I want to be a part of this. And like surrounding yourself with those people is so important. I can't say it enough. Community, community, community. And just like finding your community or building it. If you can't find it, because that's one of the things I think I did well in this Pokemon world. I came in and I just kind of did my own thing and beat, like went to the beat of my own drum and like,
yeah.
Kind of was able to make my own lane where it does feel clicky at times, and it does feel like it's hard to break into those clicks of quote unquote the best players that have been playing for decades and whatnot.
Yeah,
but they're just people. They're all looking for friends at the end of the day. If they vibe with you, they vibe with you. If they don't, they don't. You know, and it's just like it's really cool to see that like I've been able to network so well to the fact where like I could go up to most of the people at these regionals like. Most of the top 8s, I usually have to text one of my friends congrats after, which is really cool to see.
That's a flex, bro.
Like, yeah, it is really cool to see, like, again, shout out Tim recently. That was so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then Taron Birdie crushed it, too. He's a friend. And if I didn't reach out to him, I got to reach out. Brian Collins crushed it. I was like, oh, I saw his name at the top. Let me reach out right now. I, like, love that dude. And, again, to see so many friends doing so well and, like, Brian Collins, I met through the Champions Bad Draft League playing fantasy Pokemon during COVID. Pengu, yeah. Another great friend I met through this thing. Like, I go to him with so many questions. Met him through the fantasy draft league. And it's just like, it's really cool to see like how naturally I've been able to carve my own path and network and meet these great players throughout this game and become like, again, carpool buddies with Chuppa to the point where we walk into locals and people are like, shit, I thought this was going to be easy. You know, it's like, I like that, you know, and me and Tim walked into the last one. That's what John Duran said. Shout out John Duran. And it's like now when me and Tim walk in, because we carpool together a lot, it's going to be a lot of different reaction because of Tim's most recent accomplishments.
I can't wait to see
people shaking in their boots when the Long Island crew walks in.
Hey,
and they know we're taking the points out of New Jersey.
Man, yeah. I love it, dude. You're well connected. Such a competitor. We're down the last couple of questions of the podcast. First one, we'll make it about Pokemon. What are you most excited for coming up next with Pokemon?
I don't Regulation H, so I probably should.
You're done with G already, bro?
Yeah, I probably shouldn't say this yet, but I'll give you an exclusive. I'm planning a live in-person Tommy tour. I'm trying to get a sponsor now.
August
31st, Regulation H.
Holy hell.
Regulation H isn't no Terra. I hope it's like, because Sword and Shield did one restricted, no Dynamax, double restricted.
Oh.
So if they follow that same pattern and do no Terra, I feel like people wouldn't be as hyped for Regulation H. And now I'm planning the first Regulation H format before I know the tour. So I'm all nervous about Regulation H. I couldn't even care less about Regulation G because I'm really taking a break. I'm not going to any events other than locals. And, dude, since locals go till the end of the month, I still have to focus on Regulation F, even though no one can talk about it because there's no majors.
I'm going to an event on Monday night, and I think I'm casting an event Friday night, and I'm casting the event Saturday,
which is so cool now that... Again, because I've been able to network, I got this opportunity to cast events. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to say no if you're offering me to cast an event.
It's really
like,
cool.
It's really cool. And like, when I watch Chuppa or like Courtney and Tyson commentate my games, I listen and I feel like I could learn so much from their perspective. And I feel like I want to give that to people too. I hope I could give that to people.
Totally.
I'm so excited to have the opportunity to try. And that's again, beautiful. Just building the network and like becoming more of a name in the community, I guess, really. And then, again, that's what my friend was saying. He's like, dude, people know your name now. Like, it's really cool to just be like, say, I've seen him do everything from like the draft leagues to like going to your first event to like, be all nervous for VGC. I still consider myself a draft player too, even though I barely play drafts anymore. Like, I barely play draft leagues, but I'm a draft player at heart. Like, I'm not a VGC player. I'm a Pokemon draft league player.
You're a real like, ass player, man. You're versatile player, man.
Yeah. I got Ndidi Armourage, Dozo Geary in the draft, so I'm not that versatile.
Please, I don't want to see it.
And I got Muck and Knuckle, and I got Moody Scovillain with Rage Powder.
Oh, Lord.
So I'm like, wait, I have Redirection and Muck, and it's Moody Redirection, too. That's really funny.
That's hilarious. It sounds terrible.
So I have the weirdest 2-2-2 with Moody, Redirection, Muck, Armourage, Ndidi, Dozo, Geary. So I can't wait to see how I do in this draft league. But again, it's just like so much fun playing different formats of Pokemon, including VGC, including drafts, including these VGC send-off tours. I didn't play because I don't have a DS, but I watched them. And like watching Alex Underhill's run, watching Zekrom Zeke's run. Shout out Zekrom Zeke. That dude's fucking hysterical. I never watched one of his streams before. Alex Underhill is great too and funny too, but like
check it out.
That was my first time really watching one of his streams. I was like, dude, this dude's so funny, and it's just like the way he like talks about the game was really funny. I was vibing watching him. But piggybacking on that, so one of my friends that I reached out, like he reached out to me. I think I talked about him on the first half. Mike D'Angelo, shout out Mike D'Angelo.
Yeah,
best fucking team builder that ever was or will be in my mind. He reached out and said you should do the send off tours before the DS shuts down, and I just impulsively set him up. Within 30 minutes, and because of the reception they got, I'm doing Throwback Thursdays. This is starting the week after NAIC, Throwback Thursday send off tours. We're starting with the 2014 format. We're running until the week before Worlds, and we're gonna do a different format every Thursday. Throwback Thursday tours. So we have Tommy Tuesdays regularly scheduled, plus Pokemon Showdown Throwback Thursday. So it's easily accessible to a large majority of players.
Yeah,
and it won't interfere with your world prep. Hopefully, you know. You want to spend a day doing an old format. It's just like, And all the players that don't qualify for Worlds, I feel like it's good timing for them because the season's over.
Yeah.
And then, again, then Worlds would happen, 2-week break, and that would lead into the live Tommy Tour, August 31st, which is going to be regulation age. And I'm planning that right now. If we don't get it sponsored, I think I could still pull it off. It's going to be hard, but, like, I think I could do it, which is really a cool feeling, too, that, like, I'm trying to make these big moves in the scene and, like, do big things with this tournament stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I could pull it off. Again,
I think this is the way to do it, man. Diversifying, giving, like, you know, have your classic, but also you have your, like, you know, this special stretch where we're going to do a little something different. I think that's a big way to grow things. That's a big way to get people in that might not be participating yet. I can't do Tuesdays most of the time. So I'm like, oh, Thursdays? Okay, let me get on that. That'd be fun.
And then let's say it goes really well and people are like, yo, can you start hosting Thursday tours? I would see if I could do just obscure world sets or just regular VGC tours.
Yeah.
Try to add another one, see if my staff and team can handle it. Because I don't know if I would be able to handle it. But if we have the infrastructure to add it, I would want to add it and do as much as possible without burning out my guys. Because I don't pay them. They're all volunteers.
That's so cool.
It's like really cool to like to see the community behind it. But again, now that I'm trying to get this sponsored, the owner of the company, the cannabis dispensary, she's put together pitch decks and helped company like helped startups. So she's like, yeah, I'll absolutely help you. So like she's been a huge resource to me.
So cool.
One of the other people there has been like, yeah, no, I'm a graphic designer. I can help you with different stuff, like putting it together. And I said, are you kidding me? Like, yeah. And like these two people have helped me so much just because I'd known them from the cannabis dispensary and like they like me and want to help me.
Mm.
And it's just like, again, building that network of people. You never know who's going to help you and where. But like now, if I could connect the Jolly Green Oil people to the dispensary ownership, like imagine that is a synergy. Like imagine there's some business to be done there, and I'm in the middle of it handling an account somewhere. You know, it's like we're all friends making
money stuff for each other.
Yeah, yeah, it's like really cool to see how it could all work out, man.
And it's weed and like, Pokemon bringing people together.
But I also want to host a live tournament at the dispensary if it ever opens too.
Mm.
It would be 21 plus. It would be like sponsored by cannabis companies. I need to look at Nintendo rules because the Nintendo guidelines would probably prohibit that. You know, they don't want any plant medicine, any like alcohol, tobacco type sponsors. So like, I don't know how I would pull it off. It would have to be like an underground tournament. I don't think I could pull it off, to be honest, which sucks. But like, if I just promoted and got C&D'd to hell, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I don't know what the regulations are,
but risky again,
that's why I want to do a legit one and do like let's follow all the Nintendo guidelines
legit first
and then see if I could do a cannabis sponsored one after now that this one went well, like, you know, see how where it goes from here.
It's beautiful, but,
I really hope I get it sponsored too. I'm working towards that, and again, if I don't, I think I could pull it off, which again is a really cool feeling. And I think I guess that's part of why I'm so confident in being me. Cause like I've proven to myself over and over, like, hey, if I want to do something, I could probably be good at it. Like Pokemon, I dove in with 2 feet and I got to Worlds. And I think I'm pretty good at this shit now. Like, I'm not the best player that ever was or will be, but I'm trying. And like, I'm not someone you want to get paired up against at a local.
Like, bro. I feel that. I feel that. I can see it.
Yeah,
let's get this last question in, bro.
Yes.
All good. And I'm really interested in your answer for this one, and it's one of the most fun questions. Most fun. Imagine there is a guy out there just struggling, who, you know, he's struggling whatever he's going through, and he needs some support to get through the day. What might you have to say to such a guy?
Struggling physically, struggling mentally, How well do I know?
Going through it. You don't know him that well. You don't know him at all, as a matter of fact. What might you just say to a fellow human who's going through it like that?
You're not going to like my answer.
Oh, no. What's your answer, man? What's your real answer?
I live in New York. I see that every day and walk by and do nothing. I'm in Manhattan, and I see that every day in Manhattan. If you go to Penn Station, you...
Okay.
So if but I know
say
them,
you don't know him, but you know you have the power to help this person.
Like, what's the situation? I'm not walking through Penn Station.
You're not walking through Penn Station.
I'm not.
You give
in
a fuck. You give a big fuck.
Yeah, no, because it depends on the situation entirely. Yeah. Like, if I'm at work, like at Jersey Mike's, I saw a girl crying outside, and I was like chasing outside, crying like,
hey,
guys, we got, like, what's going on? Like, she couldn't be more than 20 years old. Mm-hmm. She was just crying, pacing. I was like, what's going on? We got to do. And it was the day of the earthquake. So I was like, this is a weird, like, let's just see what's up. And we saw her. When we went out to go check on her, she was walking into Tropical Smoothie. So we're like, all right, she's fine. Like Tropical Smoothie, that's attached. It's Five Guys, Jersey Mike's Tropical Smoothie. So I guess like in that aspect, but like, yeah, no, if I'm in Manhattan, if I'm in New York City, like I'm walking by minding my own business with my headphones. Like, I hope they don't spit on me. Like, I hope they don't puke or like, if it's just someone if it's someone I know, it's like different, but like with strangers, again, that's giving my mental energy. Like I can't, in New York, especially, like I'm getting to point A to point B on public transit in New York. Like I don't give a fuck. Someone's crying in the street corner. I'm like, don't cry on me. Like, get out of my way. I'm going up to like the corner of 14th and 8th. You know, it's just like, I get, and that's probably not the answer you were expecting or looking for.
All right. Let's try this. Let's say you went to elementary school with them. Like, you kind of knew them. And you don't, like, generally don't want anything bad to happen to them just because you guys were children together. What would you say to that kind of person?
I don't know if I would even recognize. That would be so funny. I'd be like, whoa, what? How are you doing? You still live on so-and-so? Are you in Bayville still? No, you're here? You're on this street corner now? Oh, things are too bad? I really don't know how I would react. It's really, I keep in touch with some people. So I went to a 100-person elementary school. Like, I knew everyone.
Pretty intimate.
Yeah, it was very intimate. I went from kindergarten through sixth grade with, like, the same people. And then in sixth grade, we merged with another small school. And there was, like, 250 total in the middle school, I think. Like, in the grade in our middle school. Maybe less, actually. Probably, like, 150, 175 total. So, like, it was a very intimate. Like, I know everyone probably still as a 30-year-old man. I could probably point out, like, yo, is that Eli that used to pick his nose, or is that like hot Amanda that I used to have a crush on in the first grade? You know, it's just like I would probably recognize most of the people, so I would be compassionate and care and be like, what is going on? Like, what is happening? But like, if I don't know them, again, it's like, I guess that's a product of my environment, because
that's interesting as fuck to me, because I like easily, I was like, oh, I would say blah, blah, blah. But I think I can totally get it. It like that New York is just this big sprawling place, right? And
there's enough people with enough problems. I don't got to
add them to my plate. Totally.
I got my own problems to deal with. I don't got to add your problems to my plate.
Okay. We'll try one more time. If you are having like the shittiest day of your life, what's one thing you do to uplift yourself?
So I am the worst with this, because I do the same thing when I'm really happy and when I'm really sad.
Okay.
I eat.
Okay.
I treat myself with food.
All right.
Like, if I'm feeling good, I'll get my best meal to celebrate. If I'm feeling down, I'll be like, let me get my best meal to bring me up a bit.
That's beautiful, bro. It's that simple. I like it. Eat something good.
I love food and I love eating. I actually, so again, today went really well, I thought. Like today, I was really like happy with how today went. On my way home, I was like, what am I going to eat for dinner? Let me treat myself. So I had White Castle for an early lunch at like 12:30, which is way too early to be eating White Castle. Anyone eating White Castle at 12:30 has something going on. I have some issues, I guess. Like I shouldn't be eating White Castle at 12:30 p.m. But I ate an early lunch because I skipped out on breakfast and I ate White Castle. So it's like 6 o'clock, I'm driving home. And there's an awesome Italian place in Oyster Bay near my house. It's called Authentico.
Yeah.
And they have like amazing bolognese sauce. It's a Sicilian pastry chef. He's phenomenal. And I got this Italian quesadilla. It's stracciatella cheese, arugula, and prosciutto di Parma. It's fucking amazing food. And I said, you know what? I haven't had this in probably like a month or two, barely like 2 months now. I'm going to treat myself. And it was like $45. I left like a tip too. It was like $55 meal. I'm just like, oh, it's so worth it. But like, I was like, I'm really excited about the future. Like after hearing some of the future plans and the
job. Hell yeah.
Like I was like, you know what? Let me fucking celebrate a bit and get some food. And like, if I'm ever down having a bad day, it's like, you know what? Let me bring it up and get some food. I'm an Italian kid through and through. So my mom's 100% Sicilian. My grandparents are 100% Sicilian. That was like the house I was raised in. Like for New Yorkers, we're not like tomato sauce in the driveway Sicilian. Mm-hmm. We're very like we're Sunday dinner Sicilian.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so Sundays at 2 p.m. we're eating dinner and then we're eating leftovers and we get hungry later that night. but it's just like that. And it was very, food was always a big part of my like childhood culture, everything. Mm-hmm. I felt like, you know, food was amazing, like trying different cuisines and mostly Italian food. So I love Italian food.
That's awesome, dude.
Sauces. And so whenever, yeah, that's usually, if I'm really down, that's what I'll do. And if I'm really happy, that's what I'll do. And that's one of the things that I love about traveling. I always try to find a mom and pop spot that I want to be able to get back home. Like, I always try to eat stuff I can't eat on Long Island when I'm traveling, because it's like, why else travel? Like, let me get these different palates, unless like I'm just in a bad mood craving Taco Bell or Chipotle and want some comfort food. And it's just like, if I want that comfort food, I'm not going Italian food in Portland. I'm not going Italian food in Dallas. Like, I'll find something. Like,
Yeah, totally.
I know it's consistent, like that Taco Bell, or like that consistency that I like, you know, because at the end of the day, I'm a fat fuck. I love fast food too. It's horrible. I did cut down my sugar for Lent. I gave up soda drinks for Lent before 6 o'clock. And I let them, with dinner, I would let myself have a soda. That was like my consolation for Lent. But like, I was drinking too much soda during the day. And now, like, again, cutting that out, I think I'm going to keep that a habit. Like, no soda before like 6 p.m. And then the second 6 p.m. hits, I'm like, give me that cherry Coke.
Give me that shit. Hey, yeah. We want a healthy Tommy. Tommy, bro, this has been amazing. This has been fantastic. And I was, you know, Tommy says, eat the good food. He might not give a fuck, but I think it's a great, I give a fuck, and it's great advice for anybody who's down. Nourish yourself with some good shit, something that you like, Always. Something that nourishes your soul.
What is your favorite meal? Get it tomorrow for dinner.
Favorite meal? Yeah, get that shit for tomorrow for dinner.
And you personally, what is yours too?
Oh, what's mine? Oh, yeah, dog. Probably pizza, a nice pepperoni pizza. I'll fuck that up by myself.
Treat yourself to your favorite pizzeria. Go there tomorrow. Go out of your way if it's out of your way. Oh. Get your favorite pepperoni pizza and treat yourself. And tell me it doesn't feel great when you're leaving the restaurant and you're like, that was a really
good dog. Oh, dog.
Yeah.
You ain't got to convince me, baby. I'm along for the ride every single time. Yeah. I get the weekly pizza, man. The weekly pizza is that's a ritual.
And again, if you're listening to this, thank you for listening. And I hope like I brightened your day somehow. I hope like listening to this show helps you, because I feel like that's your goal with this too.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
Like just being there for people and building that community. And like, again, if you don't know who I am, my name's Tom Hayden. I host tournaments on Tuesdays on Limitless. I'm on Twitter at TomHayden27, Twitch at TomHayden27. And I'm just trying to be a better person every day. Just be better than I was the day before. That's all we can ask in this world, you know?
That's all we can ask.
Help people that I care about, not people, random people in New York City streets. But like, I would just walk by and not give a fuck. I know that's not the answer you were expecting. And I feel guilty about that now, but I also know myself well enough to know that's exactly what I would do. Like, because again, I take public transit in Manhattan sometimes, you know, it's just like when I was doing that for 4 or 5 months straight. Yeah. 5 months straight. It's like, yeah, no, that I was in that situation every day and walked by it and did nothing.
Hey, Tommy,
that's just like a product of it.
You take care of the people in the community with the tournaments. Yeah. You take care of the people in your lives. They love you so much. They're doing a good job. You take care of yourself. And I'm happy, man. I'm happy with you. For the other people, we're going to get them people. I'm going to help out a little bit. Hopefully the friends help them out a little bit.
Hopefully they're able to find their community.
They'll find their community and we'll be good, man. Tom, man, we're going to wrap this thing up. I appreciate you so, so much, brother. You're a beautiful soul. Thank you for the chat. Thank you
for working with my schedule. Because this, for the reference, this is like 10:30 to 11:30 on a weeknight. Hey. We both have work tomorrow, I'm assuming. Because I got my alarm set for 6:30 a.m.
Mine is.
I gotta get to sleep after this.
Mine's a little earlier, so I'm going to get to sleep too. But hey, it's been beautiful, dog. I appreciate you, and I can't wait to chat again, man.
Let me know when this comes out so I can tweet it out, put it in my Discord, everything like that.
Always. I'll catch you soon, man.
All right. Love you.
Love you. Ha.
I say that at the end of every chat.
Yo, that was wild. Getting to chill with my guy, Tommy, motherfucking Tuesdays. We were blazed. By the end of that thing, our eyes were definitely like completely closed, hardly able to stay awake. And that is the fun of PokeBuds, changing it up, having a little bit deeper conversation. I love about cannabis is that it just opens you up for a lot more than maybe what's typically possible. Like a heart opener in a way, a consciousness opener in a way. And just, I think it allows for some interesting conversation. So really enjoyed doing that with Tommy. It was a long time coming, but I think we got a flow going here. So super excited to get this posted. Looking forward to hosting more of my Pokemon community here, talking about men's issues while we are on a little bit of the gas. So looking forward to next time. I think I'm going to do something like a 2 week, every 2 weeks, Pokebuds bonus episode, something along those lines. Hold me accountable to it. You'll continue to see the usual episodes of Pokemon's Health every single week. We're on a nice little streak here, been holding on to it, enjoying doing the podcast and doing the spinoff where we're having high conversations. This has been real near and dear to me. I was a little hesitant at first and still a little hesitant. So we're going to put this out. We're going to see how this thing goes. And hopefully you guys continue to vibe with it as much as you do with the rest of the episodes. Really appreciating the support and getting on all sides of this thing and just showing that love and appreciation for you all. Looking forward to the next episode. Talk soon.